over this service, be over this time as we look in your scriptures, be over this time as we hear the word of God. May it deeply soak into our hearts. May our minds contemplate, be changed forever because of today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the Lord is good. Oh, thanks, honey. The Lord is good. All right, I'm going to change things up a little bit. Originally, I had 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, but I've decided to go ahead and do 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. I thought this morning I might as well do the whole section, 12, 1 through 10. So if you prepare your Bibles for 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. Have you ever hit parts of Scripture that just make you stop and go, what? Does that happen to you? Like, did I just read that? This is one of those moments that made me think, what? And it's just one of those passages of Scriptures that really kind of just makes you stop and think. Rather than just read right through, you have to stop and go, what is going on here? Seriously? Yeah, seriously. And this morning, the title of the sermon is Living in God's Strength. How many times do we try to live it in other strength? Is that you? Do you naturally think of the Lord when you need strength right away? Does it come to you naturally? Anybody here? Like, yeah. Step one, reach out to the Lord. Or do you do what I do and start running with another plan? Like, how do I find the strength I need in this moment? When I'm on my way to work, you know what I'm thinking of the first few moments? Where am I going to get my coffee today? Or how should I get some eggs? You know, they say it's like a superfood. You know, remember in the old days they used to really push eggs? And I don't even know if they do that anymore, but I remember it was like what you're supposed to start your day with, the protein and all the vitamins and blah, blah, blah. At the hotel, we have this thing called a green drink. People are all into these like blended superfood, green-looking, mossy things. And they look for their strength whenever they want. You know what happens to us around 3 o'clock in my store? Everybody starts yawning, and we start thinking, round two for coffee time. Where do we go? But sometimes we need to remember, first and foremost, when we start our day, truly that we are living in the strength of God, first and foremost. Amen? That means that we're in our Bibles, we're in our, right in my place, I have this cute little, like, devotional. I just have to remember to do it. I have to force myself to open those pages and start putting Scripture in my day before I put anything else in my day. We need to live in God's strength. One time I asked this guy, he looked a little bummed, and I said, how you doing? And you know what? Sometimes someone will be honest with you. What do we normally say? Oh, good, thank you. How are you? That's the Blinken statement. But sometimes you might see somebody and say, how are you doing? And they might actually tell you the truth. And this guy did it. I said, how you doing? He said, not good. My wife just passed, and I just want my wife. Wow. I asked, and I got it. So you know what I realized that day? He needed strength. He needed encouragement. He needed a moment to really have that type of strength back into his life. And I said, you know what? I bet you guys had some amazing times together, days together, great memories together. And you know what? I think today is the day to remember those days and give God thanks for all those wonderful times. Could that help him? I don't know. I hope it did, because where did I point? The name of Jesus. That's what we do. By the way, I'm a little bit in a musical mode today. When we were driving from St. George to Overton, everything became a song. So if it happens today, you'll just have to bear with me, because sometimes life is a song, amen? And when you have the Lord, I have to tell you, there are lots of songs to sing, amen? All right, so let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7. Did you like the songs, hon? Some of them were kind of crazy. Some of them were crazy, but just having fun. It's good to have fun, amen? All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. Paul's vision and his thorn, it says. Here it goes. One of these moments like, what? I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to know visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Wow. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted but what I do or say. Now verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sakes, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What do you think? Interesting, right? For those who speak Spanish, muy interesante. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. This passage is very, very thought-provoking. But when I thought about it, this scripture, two people come to mind. Who are two people that maybe show a lot of weakness? I could say I was one of them for sure. I am one of them. But I'll tell you, two people came to my mind when I thought of weaknesses. And they're kind of two interesting people. I thought of Moses and I thought of Paul. What do you think of Moses? What a guy. But when you go back and read a little bit more about Moses, you think, ooh, he had some weaknesses, did he not? First, when we look at Moses, I thought of this. I remember how frightened he was to do what the Lord asked him to do. That sounds like me. He was frightened. He didn't want to be used by God the way God wanted to use him. He was embarrassed by what? Did you remember this? A speech impediment. He was embarrassed by a speech impediment. And he says in Exodus, he says, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. Do you feel like you have eloquent speech? Or can you say, no, I just lay it out the way it is? Sometimes we understand what Moses is saying here. He says, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Lord, please send someone else to do it. That's scripture. How real is that? How many times do you wish you could tell the Lord, send someone else to do it? Pass. What is that game if you don't want to answer the question because you don't know? You just say, pass, pass. I don't know which game that is, but could you imagine you have the pass button? Pass, pass. But I want my child to do this. Pass. No thanks, Lord. That's exactly what Moses tried to pull off here. And then we think of Paul today in Romans. Paul lays it out so honestly, and I love the honesty. When I want to do good, what does he say is right next to him? Evil. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, raging what? And waging war. There's a war going on in each and every one of us between spirit man and God man. Isn't that something? He says, in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in my members. Can you agree with that? You don't have to raise your hand. We already know it's in all of us, this war. What a wretched man I am, Paul says. Who will rescue me from this body of death? What is my weakness? Does everybody have a weakness here? Anybody weakness-free? My weakness is, and this is probably why I couldn't get this ring off this morning when I washed my hand. I'm not even going to dare to put it on today. I love eating out. Anybody have that weakness? I can turn Taco Tuesday into Taco Wednesday, Taco Thursday, Taco Friday, Taco Saturday, maybe switch it to Burrito Sunday. I could do that in 2 seconds, and then my wife says, I just went to Trader Joe's. The house is full of bananas and soups and beautiful lettuce salads. Go have a salad. And I think, it's Taco Thursday again. I mean, this is just one of those moments. And then I don't really work out. That's another problem of mine. I try to walk around the convention rooms at the Wynn Hotel. But before you know it, I have to remember, oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to take a blood test this November, which means, Ryan, lose weight. Please, can I do it? I'm trying. No, I'm not, actually. It's just words that I say, right? I'm trying. I'm trying. Am I trying? But I have to tell you, all of us struggle with weaknesses. It's a part that's built into the human experience. And how many times do we want to beat up ourselves like I did this week? Ryan, lose 10 pounds. Come on, dude, you can do it. But I guess maybe in my mind, I think I can't. Is that a possibility? Could that be my weakness? But once our minds have calmed down and we realize what God is saying, God's wisdom can set in and speak to us, because truly what we're hearing here is, in weakness, God's strength comes to overtake that. That's a wonderful moment. He can speak strength into our lives. Honey, I will try to eat at home more every single week. I shouldn't say try. Honey, I will eat at home more every single week, and I'll just leave Taco Tuesday on Tuesday. But truly, our weaknesses can be viewed in a new light. But what is our weakness? And I thought about them. Sin. Do I continue to sin? Then I know I shouldn't. Anger. Am I set off too quickly? Or am I angry people? Just kidding. You don't have to raise your hand. Do I lose my cool too quickly? Constant worry. Remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? Oh, it's not going to be good. Do you remember Eeyore? I don't want to be a Christian Eeyore. Well, I don't see anything getting better. I don't want to be the Eeyore guy. So we don't want to be in constant worry. Distrust, do you have a hard time trusting people? These are all weaknesses that the Lord can cause us. Addiction, the Lord needs to cause us out of that, amen, and get us out of these moments. We don't want to live in that. I truly don't want to live with my weaknesses forever, hallelujah. But I pray that by the end of this time together that we have, we can transform our weaknesses into God's strength. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So first thing I thought we'd look at this morning, we'll put it up. The first thing we wanted to look at today is to start living in God's grace, because it is sufficient, made perfectly sufficient for you. Isn't that the truth? Grace is a beautiful thing. And I thought about it. I started writing down dates this morning as we were driving. I just look through my notes and I start jotting down dates. 1991, my parents split up. I learned to distrust. I figured if you couldn't trust your own family, I'm going to distrust most people. By the time we get to 1999, I'm finally coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, I will place my trust in you. By 2003, I'm finishing Bible college, getting my degree in Bible studies. By 2003, Jenna and I are getting married, and I'm thinking, I'm trusting people again, obviously. By 2005, we have our son. By 2007, we have our daughter. And in 3 weeks, we're going to celebrate 21 years of marriage. Wow. And me, the kid that didn't want to trust anybody from 1991. But what happened was 99 is when God said, no more. You will trust. You will obey. And what did Pastor Dave tell me? You remember? He said, give God 5 years. You won't believe the changes he will make in your life. You'll look back and you will be the complete opposite person because of the work of the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. Paul said, you think about dinner, hon. We're going somewhere nice. 21 years. Paul stated that there was a... Honey, we're making a salad. Yes, darn. Old habits are hard to break. Zucchini and salad and the soup would be good, honey. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to be in the land of plenty, amen? We have so much. We're so grateful for what God has given us in small doses. So Paul stated that there was a thorn in his side in our passage of Scripture, a spiritual attack that tested and weakened him. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's me. I'm weak. 2 Corinthians. Kenneth Wiest, he writes an expanded translation of what Paul says here. And if you look at the Greek, this is how it would read out in the Greek. I beg the Lord. Have you ever done that? I beg the Lord, and he said to me, and his declaration still stands. How often does everybody's declaration still stand? Sometimes we tell something to somebody and we don't even follow through with it. Isn't that the truth? Or someone tells us something that sounds like a promise and we don't even follow through with it. He says, he said to me and his declaration still stands. You're getting the vibe of the Greek. My grace is enough for you. My power is moment by moment. How many moments do we have in a day? A lot of them, right? This means that God is in each and every one. My grace and my power is moment by moment coming to its full energy and complete operation in the sphere of weakness. That is good news for me. That is good news for you. The point is, Jesus is enough. Amen? Jesus is enough, just as we sang this morning. His power, his influence, his joy, his favor, his life that he gives to us is all enough. Hallelujah. Yesterday when we went to Painted Pony in St. George, we decided to have a lighter lunch. But when I saw my portion, I'm like, well, that's too light. Jana got this salad, and her bowl was full. I'm like, it spreads, it touches the edges, you get all these beautiful grilled potatoes, you have all those lovely lettuce, forgot what else was in there, Kalamata olives and all this fun stuff. And I ordered the gnocchi, potato pasta, Italian potato pasta, gnocchi with chicken. My bowl was this big, but everything was like this little appetizer thing in the center. And when she put it in front of me and I looked at yours, hon, I'm like, not fair. This is not going to fill me up. But guess what? By the time I finished that gnocchi and chicken, I was full. It was absolutely enough. But how many times does the Lord place things in our life and we think, I don't even know if that's enough, Lord? And he says, what I just gave you is exactly what you need. I was mistaken about my bowl of gnocchi. Forgive me, Lord. It was enough. And we have to remember to thank him for just his right amount. Amen? We need to actually ask him to forgive us sometimes when we don't recognize, you know what, you have me right where you want me, Lord, and I thank you for being in this moment by moment. As Kenneth Weiss says, his power is moment by moment. God's grace should blow us all away. Hallelujah. And when we think about it, when we talk about God's blessing, do you ever talk about God's blessing? When we talk about God's blessing, I have something to share with you. You are that blessing. You ever talk about God's favor? When we talk about God's favor, you are that favor to this community and to the world. So remember to personalize things, hallelujah, because God promises to demonstrate his power in our lives, hallelujah. And since he chooses weak people like us, want to raise a hand? If he chooses weak people like us, that should give us hope and courage, amen? He picks us knowing we are faltered. What an awesome guy. I wish they did that at my company. You know what? We're going to pick the most faltered person to run this big thing. They don't do that, do they? Will the world give you that offer? No, they won't. They look for other attributes. God's thinking, I'm checking out my weakness, people. Where are they at? I'm going to display my power through you. You know what? When I think about it, everybody wants something new, amen? And we should want the newness of God. You know what people say when we sell a necklace out of the case? They say, no, 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 I want a fresh one, like I just baked it in the oven. You don't bake gold and diamond necklaces. I don't have an oven baking them. I don't have a fresh one. That might be the only one I have. But once in a blue moon, actually, I have one that's never been touched before. I have good news for you, ma'am. I have good news for you, sir. This one just arrived at 2 o'clock, hasn't even made it to the case. The only hands to have ever touched it is probably some Swiss person, you know, that wrapped it in plastic. I have a fresh one. Can you smell? But I have to say, we need to be and want the newness of God all the time. Truly, His grace is sufficient for us. Because if that wasn't true, you probably wouldn't even invite me back. But you have me here today. Your graces are made new for me. Thank you for having me. Could you imagine if God's grace wasn't sufficient? But it says right here, it is and made new. Hallelujah. We love new. Our second thing to look at this morning is this. Second thing is this. God infuses His power into weakness and limitations for one reason, and one reason only. He's the big shot, amen? It's for His glory. He loves to show off what He can do in faltered, weak people. And I think that's cool. And it's nice to point out to the world who we were and who we have become and who we are becoming, amen? It's not cool to say, oh yeah, I've always made all the right moves, blah, 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 blah. Absolutely not. The Lord infuses His power into weakness, and you could almost say, and those limitations for His glory. God says to Moses, and you know what's so funny about this when you think about Moses? He didn't want to ask God for His power to help him through that moment. And that's what we're supposed to do. Ask. What does Scripture say? You have not because you ask not. We just have to ask, amen? Moses didn't want to ask. Moses asked the Lord to send someone else. But God said to Moses after his complaint, He says this, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you and speak and teach you what you need to say. I will help you speak. Isn't it nice to know that we have someone that helps us who's not a human? Isn't it nice to know that we have someone that'll teach us? And we know the rest. Moses went on to become one of the greatest people in Scripture. In fact, people would have seen him and say, hey, weren't you the dude with the stutter? Did you really just part the Red Sea by raising your hands? Could you imagine? People probably would have been, wow, what a moment. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus said to Paul in his weaknesses in Acts, He says, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And guess what? In all of that, God's grace was sufficient even for Paul, made perfect in a weak, imperfect man. So next time, I know I was thinking about you this morning, brother, because I'm sure you've seen a lot of amazing churches in Europe. One man like Paul goes in prison and gets sent to Rome, and now you could go to almost any European capital and see the most amazing churches ever. St. Paul's in London, Notre Dame in Paris. I can't remember the name of the one that we saw in Roms, but oh my goodness, that was a gorgeous church. One man in prison going to Rome. What an amazing God we have. Isn't that something? Absolutely spectacular. And what God is saying to you is, what He's saying to you in your weakness is, to give Him thanks, I believe. Is that a song? I thought about this. He wants us to give Him thanks. And I thought of this song this morning as we were driving. Give thanks with a grateful heart. You know it? Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Let the weak. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Life is a song, amen? I believe He wants people of gratitude, hallelujah. And what is God saying to us in our weakness? Trust in Him and give Him thanks because He will pull through. He has all the power you need. Oh no, that's another song. He's got all the power you need. There's lots of songs. Lots of songs. And not only that, who can rescue us? It's only the Lord through Jesus Christ. And we need to not argue like Moses did with the Lord, but we need to choose to be the instrument we are called to be and just say, yes, Lord. That's another song. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Woo! Sing that in the Philippines with Pastor Dave's brother. And we do this like the Lord is our commander. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay, that's enough for the songs. I might have another one. Our inward struggle with sin is just as real for us as it was for Paul and Moses. And truly, there are times when we may feel dismayed, but we move on. But when you begin to feel frustrated, when you begin to feel confused, truly, our weaknesses and our sins, we need to follow the example of Paul, and that is to thank God for the freedoms that we have, hallelujah, in Him, given through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful for the fact that God is involved in our lives, working on us. Amen. Our last point this morning is this. May we learn, this is crazy, to delight in weakness and trust in God's strength. Learn to delight. There's a lot of things I delight in. Usually it's not my weakness. Isn't that crazy? We may learn to delight in our weaknesses and trust in God's strength. That means, hallelujah, I haven't arrived yet. I can only arrive where God has me. Amen? Paul's words have some of the craziest little meanings that were spoken there. He says, I delight. And then he says, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Do you want to go out and boast about your weaknesses today? You probably think that sounds a little crazy. He says, I boast all the more gladly so that Christ's power may rest on me. That means because I need Jesus. I boast about my weaknesses because I need Christ. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. Have you been insulted recently? I delight in hardships. Have you been in a hardship? I delight in persecutions. Have you been persecuted? I delight in difficulties. Was last week difficult? For when I am weak, then I am strong. And now, let the weak say we are strong. This is the moment, amen? Here's the magic, the key to what Paul is saying. In admitting your weaknesses, you affirm God's strength and authority. Oh, hallelujah. And we need His strength. And it also begins to deepen our worship for the Lord. It's a lesson in submission. Remember one time when our son was little? He's such a little punk sometimes. And I remember he was just so prideful and so this and that and so this and that. And I said, hey, son, you want to see the difference between you? Because, you know, sometimes kids say, hey, look what I can do. Look what I can do. They're young. They're full of muscles. They're on and full of fervor. And I said, look what I can do. And I got on the floor and I laid my face down and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you, Lord Jesus. Save me from my sin. I said, Ryan, that's what I can do. And I was trying to show him a lesson and really learning what it's like to submit to God, because sometimes we might not think we need to, or it might not come natural to us. There's a problem with too much strength. It can give way to pride. Isn't that true? Or we have too much. I got this going on. I'm good. We might think, I don't have a need for God right now. I got it all going on. But this is what I think many people struggle with. You see, when we have abundance in resources or too many tacos available, we're led to do the work of ourselves. We're led to think of what we want to do rather than the work of God. So where would Jesus be without me? No. Where would I be without Jesus? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Ooh, another song. There's so many great songs that can come up. We need to be people that are humble. Jesus, rode in on a donkey. He didn't order the new chariot from Ferrari and have it shipped from Rome with Pirelli tires and the new German shock absorbers. He came in on a donkey, amen? How humble is that? When we're weakened, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and ask God's Spirit to fill us. I remember my wife one time said, our kids are growing up. Truly, it's like sad for us. We're so used to taking such good care of them. I hope they need us in the future. But then, guess what? Progressive just sent me our new auto insurance policy and said, aha, they need us, to the tune of a lot of money. But there will all other parents that have children that are older have told us, yeah, it never changes. They'll always need you. So there we go. We'll always be needed. Oh, Lord, help me with Progressive. We have two teenagers on our policy. So, as we move on, really, this is what we want to think about, is to delight in our weaknesses. I just wanted to end with a story. If you have the chance, you might want to look at this book or look into it. There's a book called Ghost Boy, and it's about the life of a man named Martin Pistorius. I believe he's a British guy. I couldn't believe this story when I came across it. But in this story, Ghost Boy of Martin, he's a normal little boy doing his thing, going to school, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, at 12 years old, Martin lost his ability to speak. And not only that, all of a sudden, he stopped eating. And not only that, all of a sudden, he was always sleeping and hardly ever awake. Within 18 months, this 12-year-old little boy, who is now 13 or 14, was confined to a wheelchair with no abilities. And talk about weaknesses. That is true weaknesses. His mother couldn't believe what had happened, started to neglect him, trying to get the doctors involved and everything. He suffered through abuse, and his mother actually wished that he was dead. And he was basically a young man trapped in a body that couldn't respond to anything. But at some point, he realized that all he could do in his body was continue to think. But no one could realize that he was trapped in his own body and couldn't let them know. So as he thought, he said, the only thing I can do is speak to the Lord. And all he did while he was trapped in his body was speak more and more to the Lord, worship God, spend time with the Lord. And he knew that the Lord was with him. He knew truly, because of his foundation in Christ, that God never abandoned him. He felt God's presence. He knew he wasn't alone. And one therapist one day that was working with him as he was in his 20s, he was there the whole time just with all of these specialists. One therapist realized that he could actually respond in a certain way. And it was through certain responses that she felt she was picking up on. And she was the one that made the call and said, I think he's completely cognitive, but he's just not there. But given some time, they were able to bring him back to the point where he could work on a computer, begin to talk to people, even though he was trapped in his body. He overcame this moment in his life. He ended up falling in love. He ended up married, and he runs a design business in Essex, England. Isn't that wild? Trapped in his own body. So I tell you this morning, wake up and cherish the life and the grace that God has given you. Amen. May we never live trapped and not being able to respond to God and say, Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for what you have given me. This is the moment to remember it is all made sufficient for us. Amen. Let's stand and pray and thank God for 2 Corinthians. Lord, truly we give you glory and honor. Truly we give you thanks. Lord, may you continue to infuse your power into our weaknesses. May you continue to infuse your power into our limitations, Lord God, for your glory. Hallelujah. And not only that, Lord, we want to remember more and more that your grace is sufficient for us. Forgive us for the times we live as though it is not, Lord, because we know truly that it is. And may we always give you the glory and the honor. And Father, I just ask you to bless your people this day with a special blessing to know that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Thank you, Father, for us needing you so much. It all points to you. And may we continue to strive to be like your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name, the Jesus we love, in his name we pray. Amen. His grace is made sufficient for you. Hallelujah. His mercies have been made new for you this day. So let's celebrate together. Amen. All right, let's spend some time together. Anybody need special prayer, please stay behind. That's what we're here for. God bless you.